2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to begin to read from the first verse of that chapter. Tonight I count it an honor to be here in the presence of Almighty God. I count it a privilege to be standing before you. I thank God for the wonderful spirit that we feel here in this place. But tonight I want to bring out something that's a little bit different than what you may normally have heard in church all your life. Lately through the season that I've been in, and I'm sure that some of you have walked through this pathway already, the enemy has been working on and pressing against the minds of the children of God. It is no secret for me to know and realize the way the devil is working through God's children is through envy and strife and railings and jealousy and every form of evil that will come forth out of our mouth. It's no secret that this same spirit attacks us even in our homes, tries to cause turmoil and division in our marriages, tries to cause turmoil and division in our families, tries to cause our friendships to be uprooted and rifted and have a wedge drove between them so that we're not able to be in unity. And it is no secret unto me, as I've been praying, as God has been trying to deal with my heart concerning these matters. For I'm to a place in my life where I'm ready to win every fight that I go out to fight, for I serve a God that's more than able to win. I'm here tonight not because of anything to do with me, but I'm here tonight because I'm concerned for you. My heart goes out to you tonight because God showed me the condition of our church and how the enemy is beginning to plague the minds of God's children. And it is no secret to me that I know that each and every one of us, though the battles may be different, the persecution to the mind is exactly the same. It is a spirit that tries to come upon us to cause us to stumble. When we stumble, we therefore do not obey God. When we do not obey God, there is no spiritual life that is cultivated in the depths of our hearts. And with no spiritual life comes a life most miserable. We walk around with our head held low, even though we serve a God that has it all. We walk around defeated, as if we've got nothing, when we serve a God that has everything. We walk around and act like and think that there's no way, even though God said that I will make a way where there seems to be no way. It is no secret that the enemy is trying to work in our minds so that he can corrupt the hearts of God's children. And God has sent a word tonight, and I hope that I'm more than able to try to bring it. But I want to preach to you something. What God has put in my spirit is that I'm fighting for my life. I am fighting for my mind, and I'm fighting for my spirit, because if I don't have a spirit and a sound mind, there is no life to live out here that I'll ever enjoy. If I don't have control of what I'm thinking every day of my life, then everything that God tries to bless me with, I'll never even see it coming. I'll never even feel His spirit beginning to move all over me. If my mind isn't in a place where I'm thinking upon Him, I'll come into service and miss what God is trying to say. So God has sent a word to this church tonight. I hope you read this with me. Let's read it, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself in the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Somebody say that with me tonight. Every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We all are in present conflict with a trial, for it is through trials that we are tested to see where we really stand. So we all are walking through something. There's not a one of you in here tonight that doesn't have a battle that God doesn't already know that you're walking through. So you are not alone in your fight. Everybody has problems that trouble their mind. It's different for everybody. For some, it's when somebody comes into the workplace that you know they're just going to try to say something to cause you to stumble. In other situations, it may be the behavior that you see around you or observing a situation that may begin to cause you to be a little troubled in your mind, and then it begins to work in your spirit. But as we read this in the Word of God, Paul is beginning to expound unto the people he was writing to that the battle that you are warring for is not concerning what you can see and what you can feel with this body. So every emotion that has ever came upon you that has troubled you, you are not warring to remedy what you feel. Amen. It's important we get a hold of that. Because oftentimes when we begin to be troubled in mind, we will begin to fight for what we can see. So we will begin to be mad at the person who said something, the person that did something, or the situation that has taken place. But I want to bring out something unto us tonight, and I want you to know that that which you are fighting against is not carnal. That which is coming against you is not carnal. It is not just that one person that has it out for you that tries to see you suffer every day that you live. What I want you to begin to think about is that this battle that we fight is a fight that is won through the Spirit. It is a spiritual warfare. You are fighting spiritually and you are living spiritually. If there is no spiritual warfare in your life, I can go ahead and tell you without you telling me that you're unhappy, that you're unsatisfied, that everything you try to do, there is no profit to it. Everything that you try to fight for, it is of none effect. You can even go and speak your peace to somebody, but you still won't feel better. You'll even know that you made the wrong choice. So what I want to bring out to us tonight, as the enemy is trying to battle in our minds, is that we have to begin to fight the fight that will cause us to win. We have to learn that the devil is trying to uproot each and every member of this church, trying to send them in every direction so they don't come together. No matter what church you attend, it's the same enemy that is plaguing the Church of God and the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church, the First Apostolic Church, every church that you can think of. The devil does not want anyone to prosper in the Spirit. But if we're arguing amongst ourselves, he already knows he's won the battle. If you've got a beef with somebody in the church over something, he's already won over you. And everything that you could be effective in your service, we're none effect. Because when we try to do it, then there is a hindrance before us where we're not able to go deeper in God, where we're not able to understand it in a greater way, and we begin to grow stale in our Christian walk. I want to read a couple parts to you. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What we have to win is not of ourselves. From the most talented individual in here to somebody that can maybe even sing, it does not matter what you possess in talent that defines the weapons that you fight with. So do not think that a singer has any greater of a power than you do. Amen. Don't think that an evangelist has any more power and dominion than you do, for the weapons that they fight with is the very same weapons that you possess to win the battle. So when a preacher man isn't around to help pray for you, you still have the same ability to put the enemy on the run and to put it underneath your feet. It does not have to stay in your household. It does not have to dwell in your job, but you can overcome by the power of the Spirit. For the weapons that we wield are not carnal. So you don't have to speak your peace to people. We live in a world that believes in justice. But we're not justified to judge anything according to what we know. For if I judged things in what I believed and what I thought, I would have put up many people along the way out of my way and moved on. But I realized that even in my bad attitudes, that God has taught me and showed me that there is so much more to be had than just trying to get just to get even or to get revenge or to try to prove to somebody. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but I feel like that there's some turmoil in some homes and some fights that are going on that the devil's trying to destroy in. And I feel the presence of God to speak over you, to tell you that that person you're fighting with, it has nothing to do with who they are as a person, but there is a spirit that we must begin to learn to pray against so that it does not continue to work in the self-same manner that it had before. So I know that in my mind and in my life, it feels so hard to do, but I'm telling you, you can succeed in putting everything in a rebuke to where you can walk in sound mind. A sound mind isn't being able to think thoughts clearly. Sound mind is a spiritual mind. Sound mind is thinking the godly things and loving people in spite of their faults. Sound mind will love somebody even when your mind says, I think I should not. Sound mind will cause you to praise God even though your mind says, I don't think I'm going to. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In order for us to ever pull down a stronghold, we must be willing to join the fight. I had problems in my life for many years, just a bitter spirit on me. It hit me around my teenage years and just kept going with me through my early 20s. And I'm 29 now, and I'm just learning how to get victory over these things. Let me tell you, you can go your whole life and be bitter. You can live your whole life in bitterness and never find a single thing, never find anything to make you happy. Don't you know people that live that way? They always talk negative. They always speak doubt over everything. That never seems like even if you bought them a Lamborghini and pulled it in their driveway, would that be enough for them? No, because it is a spirit that is within people trying to cause them to stay in the same old place. Are we ready to preach now? God is looking for some children at 13th Street that are going to start beginning to put the things that are troubling their mind under their feet through the weapons that God has given you. God does not want you to stay in the same place that you've been month after month and year after year and day after day and hour after hour. It's time that we learn to think ourselves happy. You don't think yourself happy unless you're fighting a spiritual warfare. I wish I could fight it for you, but it's a choice that you've got to make deep down inside of your heart. You've got to say, I know that I'm going through a hard time and I know that it's rough right now where I'm walking, but God, I'm going to believe that the weapons that you've given me are more than enough to conquer any enemy that stands in my way. I'm telling you tonight, divorce may come for some homes if they don't get their minds in order. And divorce will come and it'll uproot families until we get our minds in order. It's not about who's right. It's not about who can do it better. It's not about who even was at fault or not. But you've got to get your mind in order so that God can use you in a great way. For there is a weapon that has nothing to do with what you think or your opinion, but it'll cause you to do great spiritual works before God. Some of us may not have been ready to hear this word tonight, and I'll apologize for the blindsiding that's taking place right now. But if we don't learn to come in focused before God and have ourselves already ready to come into the presence of God to worship, we will, I'm saying this boldly, we will discourage anybody that is just starting out to ever think that there is a life to enjoy as a Christian. You know, God is just beginning to teach me how to communicate. Am I perfect at it yet? No. But I've realized that the Holy Ghost that lives within me is a weapon. And I don't care how cold the heart that you're dealing with, if you have a greater love of God in you, you'll love them in spite of what they're dealing with. And you'll use the weapon of life to cut down what the devil is trying to destroy. We could have delivering spirits in this place. We could have healings move in this place. We could have almighty Holy Ghost outpourings into the people that need it in this place. But where does it begin, church? It begins where our mind is before we ever enter into a service. You see, it's easy for people to have a loving heart and to have compassion, but if your mind is distracted and taken elsewhere, you will not hear and even see what God is trying to reveal unto you. For when the Spirit begins to move, I'm telling you, every time that I've ever been scattered, God brings me back into focus and sets me back where I need to be, and I'm able to see the direction that He's leading me in, and if I just follow it, I don't have to think about it.
If I just do it, I don't have to think about it. You see, it's hard to jump up and down and be excited if you think about, well, if I jump up and down, I don't know, maybe I'll hurt myself, or maybe it'll cause somebody to think ill of me, or maybe they won't like what I'm doing. But I'm here to tell you that if you will put your mind under subjection, you'll be able to enter into a praise that will not care if you leap up and down, or if you get your hands up in the air and begin to praise God. You won't begin to care what anybody would think, but you will put those thoughts under subjection by the anointing. I'm here to speak to some people's situations and to say the battle is not carnal. The battle you're fighting is not for you to fight. It is a fight that you do through the Spirit, through your obedience, and through prayer. I've learned that the battles that I've always won was when I stopped thinking. That sounds silly. How can you win something if you stop thinking? My thoughts had literally bound me without the capacity to literally lift up my foot and move on from something. And I just get stuck in it. But God is wanting us to be in motion. When we refuse to confront our problems and just think about them and think about what we can do to try to fix it on our own, we are limited in our mobility spiritually. I'm talking about, you know that you can lay hands on people. If God has called you to do that, praise the Lord for you. But if our minds are not in order, when we go to perform the act of the laying on of hands, there will be no moving and there will be no deliverance, but our minds will be troubled. God wants us in a place to where we have our minds under subjection to the spiritual things, where we're able to see what God really has in store. I remember a day, it was a simpler time, everybody says, and I realized why they say that. When the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was everywhere, and people always talk about the good times. But let me tell you, those times are not so far off that we can't walk in the same Holy Ghost and walk in the same power. God has called us to be a powerful people, and He didn't give us weapons that we're not able to destroy every devil that we're facing. So I know tonight, I speak to every devil and enemy that is trying to attack even my mind and trying to attack your mind, and I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus, and I pray that we begin to come alive as the Spirit is moving in this place. If you get your mind in a place where God can use it, you'll begin to win battles and not lose them. He will lead you through each and every time that you have to fight. You can read in Acts chapter 19. I want to keep preaching. I don't want to read. You can read in Acts chapter 19 about a man who had 7 sons. He was a Jewish man, and all of his sons were going to perform a work that they had seen done. And they were going forth to try to confront an evil spirit, to try to perform the work, to see it delivered from that man. And that evil spirit even was as bold as to speak to them to say, "Who are you?" The moral of the story is that that evil spirit rent their clothes and sent them running away naked, all beat up. They didn't accomplish what they set out for. And let me tell you something tonight. We can sound like a great singer. We can preach like a great preacher. You can even speak in other tongues and worship like a great praiser. But if you try to fight these battles on your own, through your talent and your ability and what you try to do, what you think, you will walk away beat up and bloodied, stripped of every form of dignity that you have, because you will be defeated and discouraged. To be naked, as we read that, is to be vulnerable in the day that we live in. To be vulnerable, to be open, exposed, hurt. So what God is wanting to teach to the people here, this is important. This is as important as John 3:16. We have got to learn to fight our battles spiritually. I'm talking every single one of them. I'm talking there's not one that God can't handle. There's not one thing that we go through that God cannot fix. We have got to learn to trust Him wholly and completely with everything that we're going through. If we want to walk in dominion and power of the Spirit, our minds must be under subjection, under the anointing of God, so that we're able to pull down strongholds that we would not have been able to do on our own. There are churches out there right now. You can look them up and go to them. They sound great. The preaching sounds great. The people that are up and praising God, it looks great. But let me tell you, there is a deception to be had when you look at what is flashy and what sounds good. You have got to learn that the battles that you're not facing, it's not in what you hear in the song, and it's not what you hear in a speaker, but it is something far deeper than that. And those that walk in victory are those that fight well in the Spirit. Those that see things come to pass are those that will walk with God. I'm telling you, it's not hard to walk right. You just got to give it a try. You just got to say, God, take every part of me. Take everything. Help me to make the right choice, and help me to make the right decision. Help me to walk uprightly before you. And he said, according to his word, that those that would seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, that everything that we fight for will be added to us. To live right is to think clearly. And to think clearly is to be delivered spiritually. If you are delivered by the Holy Ghost, you are then taught how to think. Here's an example. When God gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I used to wear clothes that maybe had some graphics on them, and, you know, wore jeans, and I didn't think anything wrong with it at the time. But God began to speak to me through the Spirit. Doris, I didn't have anybody come tap me on the shoulder and say, "Brother, don't you think that shirt is a little over the top?" And this is as honest as I can be. I was standing in my closet getting ready for church one day, and I heard the Spirit of God tell me, not that. It was very simple, but I understood very clearly what it meant. No, I'm not talking about what you wear tonight. Get to the bigger picture with me. I'm talking about being able to hear the voice of the Spirit that'll cause you to make the right choices. I'm telling you, there is a place that we can get to in God where when we even hear negative things, that you don't receive it, but you rebuke it. There is a place to get to in God that when people try to argue with you, that you will love them and you will put it aside through a greater love than their anger. There is a place in God that we can get to as a church that no matter how many times somebody's came in and went out, that we'll show them the same love that we was shown when we were in great desperation. You read in another time where someone thought themselves to be great but lost the power within. Consider with me about Samson tonight. He had a wife that was continually coming to him, trying to get him to share his weakness. If you read that scripture, you have to see temptation all over this. Delilah was tempting Samson to give up what he was weak to. And when he gave in to his weakness, the same way that he used to shake himself and win didn't work anymore. So there is something to be said about our mind being troubled with temptations. I don't know what your fix is, and I don't know what you go to do that would cause you to stumble before God. That's your business. But I'm here to tell you that God sees every minute that you dedicate to other stuff, all that junk, and when you give in to it, it is causing you to lose the battles that you're trying to fight in your life. So I'm telling you tonight, there is a greater level in God to get to that will even rebuke sin when it tries to enter in. There's been some preachers that never would have thought that they ever would have been troubled by another woman. There's people that prophesy that never thought that they would have ever been brought down by drugs. There's people that have been great singers that never thought that homosexuality would come to them. I want to tell you tonight, there is a place to get in God where no matter what the temptation is, you're able to put it under your feet and you're able to move forward and not give in. Don't give in to pornography. Don't give in to alcohol. Don't give in to the vices of the devil. Don't let your mind be destroyed for what God put inside you. Man, I feel it in the Spirit. What God put inside you is greater than any temptation. What is anything to the Lord and Savior when we follow His Spirit? When you hear that junk trying to come to your doorstep, I can't stand junk mail. I know Gail can't either. I can't stand to get junk mail. I don't want it. I'm not buying it. Don't sell me nothing. I know what I want. Trash can. Actually, I'm kind enough to recycle. Just saying. I don't want it. Don't give me a sales pitch, devil. I'm tired of the junk mail. Don't expect to go to your mailbox and receive bad things and see good things come to pass. You have got to learn to have a filter. Amen. Somebody say filter. You have got to learn to have a filter so that you don't take in everything that is coming your way. When God saved you, He separated you. So He put on a filter for you from sin so that you have the ability to put something up that will cause it not to return into your life. I testify about it every time I ever preach, but I have a filter now that God has given me in my mind so that if anybody ever had the nerve to say, Jared, why don't we go out and party one night? My filter comes up and says, you know what? I used to live that life. And I found a life now that is far greater than that. And I have a life now that is full of joy. And so I'm able to discern anything that comes my way so that I am not tempted to fail. Amen. Now I'm going to preach this next thought to some of us elders that have been along the journey for a while. God didn't give you what you've got for you to pretend that everything's perfect. And if we were really walking perfectly and mature in the sight of God, we would be walking with signs and wonders that would follow us. And people wouldn't have to wonder if God was in you or not in you. They wouldn't have to wonder if you were about to have a nervous breakdown. They wouldn't have to wonder if you were going to have it or not have it. But they would be confident in the God that you're confident in. So I'm going to tell you, if we're going to get our altars back to a place where the Holy Ghost can be received, and we're going to get them back to a place where we see healing by the anointing of oil upon their bodies, when we're going to see that is when we become a mature people and get our act together inside of this mind so that when we work together, we don't think about the things that bother us, but we move forward and filter all the hindrances that try to come. Everybody wants a church that's on fire, but nobody's willing to pull down a stronghold. I want the church to be on fire, but I still want to have a problem with somebody to talk about them. I'm here to tell you that that kind of bondage upon you will not let you be free in the Spirit. I'm telling you right now, I feel it in the depths of my heart. We have got to put a filter up to what we're taking in. You know, when people back perhaps through the 80s were preaching, you know, no TV and no movies and just flat out cutting out everything, I sort of see where they were coming from. Because they were trying to prepare people being able to have some self-control. It was a little bit of an extreme approach as we look back at it. And some of us find it kind of funny to see, you know, how we sort of adopted that tradition as it moved forward. But what they were trying to accomplish was simply learning how to take things that we know will hinder us and putting it under subjection through the Spirit. That was more of a literal approach. You know, it's easy to say, if you never watch TV, TV won't bother you. That's a literal approach. And if you feel like that God's leading you there, all means, go ahead. But God has equipped everybody with the ability to be in a place, even when a TV's on, to not even let it enter in into your spirit. I don't want anybody to be deceived. There is shows on television right now that are nothing but pure filth. It is junk. Somebody say junk. It's junk. It's nothing even worth edifying yourself with. It's all about seeing these people argue with each other. They'll put them on an island and they'll call it something island. Or they'll put them in a place and put them in camo and it's redneck island. Or they'll put college students together and they'll call that the real world. But what it is just people getting entertainment out of seeing those kinds of spirits quarrel against each other. And it is a dangerous place to be in when you find entertainment in that kind of stuff. It's junk. There's nothing to it. I would advise you that with the time that you used to entertain yourself with other things, to put a filter on and cause yourself to do something a little more positive. You know, when all the things that I've cut out of my life, I don't have to go through the list. I have replaced it with blessing other people. If I have time to text somebody and tell them that I love them and that God loves them, that is of more effect than looking at any junk, listening to any junk, and letting anything hinder us from being a true child of God. We're about to read another scripture here.